Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Verse 15. So this wisdom that you go on boasting about, that you possess, even if you are discussing theological matters, if you argue and complete and create divisions and dissensions full of grudges, then this wisdom does not come from God. Only true wisdom comes from God. You are using this knowledge to elevate yourself. You are using this knowledge to show off your intelligence. And that's why this wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic, a wisdom of human intelligence. The word unspiritual or psychiki in Greek refers to the earthly existence, mundane wisdom. That has to do with the daily existence and sustenance. Demonic refers to a wisdom that may have much depth and height, but there's something corrupt within this type of wisdom because of the element of rationalism. Do you know that there are many theologians, and these are theologians of the West, Protestant and Roman Catholics, and all the heretics, do you know that the theology in the final analysis proves to be demonic? It may seem strange, and it may seem judgmental, but the term demonic theology is being mentioned by St. John of the Latter in his 27th homily. He talks about demonic theology. Can you imagine this? And I will add something else. It is possible that our theology may be super orthodox, but if we get together to hold a discussion about this orthodox theology, and because there may exist personal opinions and egotisms and dissensions, then even though this theology may be highly orthodox, for us at least, it becomes demonic because we will involve ourselves in arguments and conflicts which are fruits of the sinful nature, and this wisdom is called demonic wisdom because it is not for the glory of God. It has been polluted by the evil spirits, the spirits of vainglory, the spirits of dissension, of ego, pride, once again. And this is what St. John of the Latter describes as demonic wisdom. And this totally agrees with St. James, the first bishop of Jerusalem. For whence you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. For when you have bitter envy and immature zeal, then you find anarchy, chaos, and even evil practice. Even though some nice things may be discussed through this wisdom, but because it does not come from God, it ends up unspiritual and demonic. Now St. James will define for us the qualities of the wisdom that comes from above, which again is the wisdom of holiness. Verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It's first all pure. So purity is the first element of godly wisdom. Purity means that there are pure motives. When someone, for instance, starts to talk about the matters of God, he must not have ulterior motives, personal passions and perversions, perverse convictions. This is extremely important. According to St. James, there can be no heavenly wisdom without this first factor of purity. a person of no guile, a person of sincerity, is a very important person. A person of humility is a person that has nothing to prove. He's not looking to make a name for himself. People today have ulterior motives, and they damage the body of Christ greatly. This damages the body of Christ when people of heavy passions assume a leading role in the church. We have female theologians today who are trying to push their passion of feminism into the Orthodox lifestyle and church. They are eager to promote themselves into the orders. God forbid. We have theologians today that are preaching Neo-Nicolaitanism. That is a new morality contrary to the gospel. Today, we have a lack of true and guileless Israelites in our congregations. Jesus said to Nathanael, "Here is a true Israelite that has no guile, no dolo." The truth is that we cannot judge the motives of another person. It is very difficult to do that. Only God can judge our real motives. If you ask me, do you have pure motives? I cannot answer you. I really don't know. If I happen to have some impure motives, how can I see them? This is very difficult to see. This is a great matter. If a person proves to be and appears as a man of pure motives, then he will begin to show a good example of the wisdom that comes from above. His true wisdom is peaceful. He does not argue. He could easily say, "My friends, this is the truth. Accept it if you will. If you don't want to, you don't have to accept it." If someone approaches us and begins to disagree with us, disagree with the teachings of the church, let's not jump all over them. This person cannot help it. That's all he happens to understand. We can simply tell him, "I'm sorry, but what you believe is false. This is the truth. If you want to believe it, that's great. If not, well, that's your personal right." This is the true wisdom. With true wisdom, we don't have arguments and name callings. Let's all be very careful about this. People happen to have different degrees of understanding. It is not imperative that the rest of the people believe precisely the way we do. It is rather egotistical to expect all the people to think the same way we do. If everybody thought like this, then everyone would be like a small pope, considering himself infallible. No, none of this. My friends, you are convinced of a certain truth. Talk to the other person about it. If he does not accept it, we will not change our attitude towards them. We will continue to greet them with politeness, talk to them, love them. We will not shun them just because they think a little bit differently. It's not the end of the world. It is possible that their different thinking may also be true, even though slightly different. But even if they are in the wrong, that's okay. Just talk to God very simply and ask Him to show mercy to that person. Show them mercy to help them return to the true path. That's all. We will not have it out. We will not argue. The heavenly wisdom is peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. submissive means to learn to talk, but also to learn how to listen. Learn to be gentle. When the other person does not understand very well, take a moderate stance. Do not be in a hurry to attack. St. Paul uses a truly beautiful verse in Thessalonians when he says, "Some things you have not understood as of yet, but God will reveal these things to you as well." He does not argue with them. He does not scold them because they did not understand him. "Shame on you. I spoke to you for so long and you are refusing to understand." They cannot help it. "Some things you have not understood as of yet, but God will reveal these things to you as well." This is a beautiful sentence. So St. Paul is considerate. He has the spirit of forbearance. Now that we are close to Great Lent, someone may say, "I cannot fast 40 days. I have never done this." Well, how many days can you fast? Do as much as you can, but get started. Next year, you will do a little more, little by little, as long as you make an attempt, as long as you get started. You'll see how easy it is. Do the best you can. We are not going to insist that a new person in the faith, a person that just joined our church or began to listen to the Word of God, we will not expect them to keep the strict fast for 50 some days. We will show forbearance. We are not compromising our faith or our traditions. We are simply exercising forbearance. So this is the wisdom from above, all pure, peace-loving, forbearing, compliant, full of mercy. This last one was never understood by the ancient world. Wisdom full of mercy. For them, wisdom was full of intelligence, full of high ideals. But they never considered that wisdom could be combined with mercy or love. This amazing combination was never known to humanity before the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel teaches wisdom and love. To be wise without love, this is harshness. To have love without wisdom can lead to craziness. So wisdom and love describes the perfect man in Christ. This is why the only wise God came on earth, to not only show his wisdom, but also to show us his love. So the godly wisdom is full of mercy. I could say this, that if we happen to forget some of these things, at least let's never forget that the heavenly wisdom is full of mercy and good fruit, without uncertainty and sincere. Without uncertainty, without a doubt, the Greek word is adiakritos, meaning showing no doubt, not wishy-washy. Not having thoughts of doubt, but also unconditional wisdom, with a big heart, as we say. We overlook and easily forget mistakes of other people. If someone happens to break something or have an accident, we don't keep bringing this up over and over again, driving them insane. We will correct that person if they happen to be at fault, and leave it alone. Leave it at that. This is called adiakritos, or unconditional wisdom and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. In other words, the spiritual fruit of holiness is sowed without friction and argument, peacefully and politely, from those that spread peace, being truly wise and peacemakers, teachers of the heavenly wisdom. So now let's mention some of the characteristics of this wisdom as found in the book of the wisdom of Sirach. All wisdom is from God and will be with Him forever. There are three different meanings of the term wisdom here in the book. First, wisdom can mean general knowledge, as in the case of Solomon. Second, it can be virtue. And third, it is the name of the Enipostatos Sophia, or the second person of the Holy Trinity. In Thessaloniki, there is a church of Saint Sophia, Saint Wisdom, meaning the wisdom of God, the Word of God, the one who incarnated, meaning Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, also referred to as the wisdom of God. So every wisdom is from God and stays with Him forever. God the Word is always with God the Father, always, always inseparable. He came to us but was never divided from the Father. So again, in the wisdom of Sirach, when it says all wisdom is from God and will be with Him forever, this is insinuating the second person of the Holy Trinity, as we mentioned, that is inseparable and undivided with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Who can measure the sand of the seas and the raindrops and the days of the creation? Who can measure the heights of the heavens, meaning the diameter of the universe? Science tells us now that the number 30 million light years expresses the diameter of the universe, the end of the universe. So who can measure the height of the heavens and the width of the earth and the abyss, but also wisdom itself? Who can bring to light all these things? Wisdom here again is God the Logos. So who can discover all these things and the Word of God who created all these things? Wisdom was first before all creation, because He created all that was created. So wisdom is the second person of the Holy Trinity. God put the seal of His wisdom on all things, on all creation. St. John mentions this in the first chapter of his Gospel. Wisdom was into the world, but the people did not know it, meaning God the Word was always in the world, but the people did not know it because their deeds were dark. So behind the causes, behind the natural laws, behind the causes of all things is God the Word. But the world, meaning the people, did not recognize Him because their deeds were dark. They chose to stay in darkness and refuse the light. If they had recognized Him, they would invent all these foolish theories like Darwin's evolution or the Big Bang theory and all the other nonsense that godless science has succeeded in pushing down people's throats. By the way, theories are nothing but assumptions, possibilities, and never a proven fact. Once again, if people's hearts would be pure, they would discover or see the divine wisdom behind these natural laws. And this is not the time to discuss this, but behind these natural laws, behind the laws of the universe, are God's angels orchestrating the great harmony of the heavenly bodies, the vast galaxies. There's so much wisdom in the Holy Scriptures. Wisdom of Sirach, chapter 1, verse 10. She, meaning the wisdom, dwells with all flesh according to His gift, and he supplied her to those who love him. So God sealed all creation, every creature, with the seal of wisdom. He gave wisdom to all creation, all creatures, measure of his divine judgment, and supplied her to those who love him. In other words, his cognition, wisdom, the reverence, wisdom, only those who love him. But only the people who love God see God in everything. Believe in the scientists, see God in everything. We will close with verse 14 of chapter 1, our wisdom, to the beginning of wisdom. She's created with the faithful in the womb. This is a very touching verse. The divine wisdom, God the Word, the second person of the Holy Trinity, is the co-creator with our natural parents. At the time of conception, he is ever present, instilling his seal on a tiny embryo that receives a soul at the exact moment of conception. Again, God's wisdom is created with the faithful in the womb. We often read it in the lives of the saints that children of very pious parents would act very godly from the age of two, from the time they are toddlers, 2 years old. We have accounts of saints that would refuse their mother's milk on Wednesday and Friday at infancy. This can only be the gift of wisdom to those who love him. We pray that we're given some of this heavenly wisdom to come to fully recognize God the Word, the wisdom of God, to help us walk as complete, mature Christians of pure motives. Amen.